Welcome back to another brand new episode of the Rocker Dog Podcast, the show that talks to musicians about their bestest boys and goodest girls. I'm your host, Tim Dill, along with my fried chicken-colored golden doodle, Charlie. And today we welcome to the show Chris Colburn of Buffalo Tom, a rare band that has endured for over 30 years with all its original members. They have a new album called Jump Rope out on May 31st, and this is his wise and practical Rocker Dog.
Well, we could talk about a lot of dogs, but my main dog is Cora now, but I grew up with some, you know, a lot of dogs, all very similar, actually.
Similar in breed?
Yeah, similar in breed. Actually, I should have had that picture ready. I have a picture of my first dog that I got when I was four, Snoopy Colburn, which I named, Snoopy, creatively. And then, then I only had one other one as a kid, which was a Cocker Spaniel mix. And then I had another golden named Abby, and then Cora was born 10 years ago.
Okay, and Cora is a golden retriever, or you said it's a golden mix.
Yeah, actually, I only met her, well, you'll see her in a second, because she comes over when I talk to people. We met her mother and grandmother, because they were both having puppies, and they were chocolate labs and a black lab. Oh. So we never saw the dad, which Cora, as you'll see in a minute, looks like a golden retriever.
Okay. I was going to say it's interesting because, you know, when you have a podcast such as mine,
Cora,
you know, you tend to rely on social media for research because you're not going to find, you know, tidbits on your Wikipedia page or your band page. And I went to your Instagram and luckily it was 75% Cora. But unfortunately, it's only four posts.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't post a lot on Instagram. That's right. But I probably don't see that, Cora.
But on the band page, there was a great picture of Cora. The comment said, Chris has always been a dog lover. He even wrote a song about a giant golden retriever he grew up with. Is that a song? Is that a song in the Buffalo Tom catalog, or is that a song?
Exactly.
Just
yeah, that is a song called, it's a B-side. So we have a B-side CD on Beggar's Banquet. It's called Butterscotch, which was recorded for the Big Red Letter Day album and the drums never worked, but we recorded it acoustically. Butterscotch. Yeah, I'm forgetting Butterscotch's last name, but Butterscotch lived in our town and it was giant. I mean, it was like a St. Bernard golden retriever sized, which was notable and used to kind of walk to my friend's bus stop and was so big and intimidating. It would just sometimes get someone's brown paper bag lunch and they let it take lunch, Butterscotch. And I know Butterscotch's sister. I mean, this was in the 70s.
So, wow.
We're still in touch. They're from this little town that Bill and I grew up in called Bedfield.
That's great.
Which was nice. I lived in a reservation area and we had dogs and they ran and the horses next door. So we grew up in the suburbs, but I live in Cambridge now in the city, which is a little different. I have a big yard, but it's different for dogs.
So as a child, you really don't remember a time without having a dog?
Oh, yeah, definitely not. I remember the day I got Snoopy as a four-year-old. It was just coincidentally my birthday. I'm youngest of five, so everyone was disappointed, of course. I got to name the dog Snoopy, and they were like, no. But it was a great dog and sadly chased cars, which was its demise in front of me as a kid.
Oh my
gosh.
As an
eight-year-old, so it only lasted till four. But my parents grew up in Baltimore, in the inner city, South Baltimore. They had a cat, like that was an outdoor cat. They didn't know what to do with dogs. And our dog was, that was a crazy, like, you know, it was the time before you didn't get it neutered. We didn't have a fenced-in yard. The dog just ran around the neighborhood. All dogs did. They were all related. There were dog gangs, Snoopy, of course, I'm four. So it became, I really bonded with that dog. And I've always had, basically always had one.
How traumatic was that experience with the...
It was crazy. In fact, there is a song called Snoopy on our very first songs we ever wrote. We wrote an instrumental called Green. I wrote a song called Snoopy, which was about the trauma of Snoopy and, you know, some early songs that were, you know, ended up on our first album. So that's kind of a dog person I am. But it was insane. I was 8 years old and it was really dramatic too. He got run over and he didn't die and he lasted overnight. And then the vet called us in the morning, but he was a rascal and he hated when men rode by on their bikes and he would bite them. Like he was a biting dog against that one single thing, which would happen. And people would come up screaming at us and say, your dog bit me. But it brought back my memories because he was a naughty kind of dog, which is great as a 4 year old to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Did it match your personality?
It's a good question. No, I think that, and this includes my mom. So I'm four, right? And when I'm growing up, I'm old enough. I'm the last of five. So my mom was starting to be like, wow, you know, this is a lot. Like, go play with the dog outside for hours. You know, that's what happened in those days. You know, yep. 8 o'clock in the morning, like, I'll see you at dinner time kind of thing. So we had a lot of fun. But I remember the dog being sort of like, okay, this is a lot. This guy constantly plays. This guy is constantly throwing balls. Like, I want to just go sit down. He had a funny thing, though. So we lived again on a forest, right? So this is Lewiston, New York, the suburbs of Niagara Falls and Buffalo. And, you know, again, my mom would just say, go back in the woods and play. So he was the hunter. And he got any animal. You know how there are dogs that do that? None of my past dogs get the squirrel or get the animal. He got every animal. He was that guy. And so he brought home squirrels, a porcupine once.
Oh my God.
Rabbits, of course, all these kinds of things. So my mom said, enough. You know, we've had enough of this. No more. The typical no more thing than a rolled up paper. Like, no, no. Like, because he'd bring the mangled animal right to my mom's feet. Right in the house. Really gruesome. So she said to him one time, I don't think my dad was involved. It was her saying like, no more. Like, no, Snoopy. And then, you know, a year goes by. This is in Buffalo, too. Cold, you know, snowy place. This is in the fall, say. So the next spring, no more animals came in the house. It obeyed. We were like, hey. Like, okay, great. Then the next spring, my job was to mow the lawn. The first time I mowed the lawn, right around this time of the year, I went around to the side of the house and there was just this like giant army coat, big gray army coat. That's all I could think. Like, wow, what's this? What a weird thing. I found a giant gray army coat and it was just mound of animal carcasses.
Oh my God.
He just left them on the side of the house.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
It must have been 30 squirrels.
That's funny. Was your mom the responsible one that fed him?
Yeah, to some degree, probably being that young. I had a sister who was, let's say, 8 years older. They were dog sitting. And that's how we got the puppy. Because, again, the dogs would constantly be have litters. It was very different than now, right? So my sister, I think, came home and said, oh, we have a puppy. And so she probably did some of the serious stuff. That's her in the picture. But it got into a lot of trouble. It would run off. Oh, so it wasn't being not neutered. It would not come home some nights, you know, much perplexing to me. You know, where's, you know, the dog? And the neighbor would say, your dog is outside this house, you know, around the block. And sure enough, I'd go like, Snoopy, what's happening here? Where are you? You didn't come home. And he would just sit outside. The dog is in heat inside. Right. The house. And he'd just wait for days. He would just sit outside.
That's so funny. He's like, get lost, kid. I'm busy.
Yeah, right. I can't explain this, but.
When you're a little older.
Yeah, that's right. That was funny. That was like probably, half of my childhood was just playing with a dog.
When was it that you took on responsibility to have a dog on your own? Were you in college? Was it?
Yeah, no, it was after college. In fact, I have a grand dog now. Reggie, and who my son just got as a junior in college, which I thought was a big mistake. He's in New York City. It's the greatest dog, though. It's the amazing dog that he adopted, you know, from a shelter. And I was like, don't do it. You don't know, you know, it's way too much. It's too much of a big responsibility. But it's actually really helped him. He's sort of anxious, like a lot of kids. He's really taken to it. It's an amazing dog. So I've always had hounds, you know, these golden kind of mixes. So this is, I'll try to show you a picture. I got a lot of Reggie pictures. This dog is like a black cur mix that is kind of like what I would see in the wild in Italy or something, you know, feral dog. So my dog, Cora, though, is older. It's 10 years old and has, you know, this is a puppy, really corrects it constantly, which they say is a good thing. But of course, they're like, yeah, hot and cold water. So my dog, Cora, corrects him all the time, growls at him, you know, bites towards him. But it doesn't ever connect or anything, but it's still pretty loud noise. But then I noticed, because I've had them for weeks at a time, that when I put them on the leash together to walk, then they're friends. There's nothing happens.
Right.
No kind of. So whatever that is, then they're, you know, they're cool with each other walking around. The minute they come back home, I guess in Cora's territory, I unleash them. Reggie goes to the food bowl or something. Oh, man, it gets nasty. But then when they get tired, they sleep together. So it's going pretty well.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. It's funny. I was going to ask you about, you know, your kids. Have your kids carried on that yeah. love of dogs that you had?
Yeah, my son, yes. My daughter, who's 18, no. She cares. She picked out Cora, and that was the idea when they were, so she was 8 years old then. She picked out the puppy, and I thought, this is a great time for the kids to get a new dog, because we had the old dog when they were tiny, tiny. Mm-hmm. It was an 11-year-old, 12-year-old golden, and that was like, you know, it slept all the time. But then she never took to him. But my son really did. And him getting the dog against my orders is funny. And I can tell he's got the same, whatever that is, the genetic thing, you know, it makes you feel comfortable. It relaxes him. It's a great feeling. You don't think of it as work at all. But he's hilarious because he got it sort of really by surprise. He was just sitting, you know, when they give them to somebody, they want people to take them home for a week. And I said, oh, no, don't do that because you're going to want to keep him, which he did. But then he had him a few months and he's like, he goes to the vet, you know, and I'm like, oh, OK, how'd it go? You know, he's walking home literally and he's going like, I have the bill here. This can't be right. I'm like, why? Like, what are we talking about? And he's like, well, it's a lot of money. I'm like, what did you think it would be? You know, $10. You know, it's these vet bills these days are like $500, you know, for shots. And he said the flea and tick medicine, and he has no money, you know.
Yeah,
I'm like, so wow. So he's like, yeah. He's like, so, you know, you need to pay this pretty soon. Hilarious.
How about your wife? Is she on board with the
ex-wife? And she is not a dog person and won't let the dogs in her house. We're very close and she has a very nice house. But the kids live here. But even when we go over there for a dinner or something, no dogs allowed.
Okay. Interesting.
Which is hilarious. Yeah. I will say my house is full of dog fur.
And rightly so. Rightly so.
Yeah. So funny.
It's funny going back to the post that's on the Buffalo Tom Instagram. A commenter said, Chris took a real interest in my dog Lucy and fed her an apple after the show at Bogart's, which I think was in Ohio.
Oh, Bogart's. Wow, that's a long time ago. Yeah, I don't remember that. We've toured with people. We once went on a tour in Australia with a band called Fur, and they had a dog with them, which I was pretty jealous of. I mean, it was in Australia, so we couldn't have brought our dogs, but I thought that's so great. It makes everybody calmer. You know, they're this great. Touring especially is exhausting, and it can be anxious, this weird mixture of boredom and anxiety constantly. And the dogs are so great on the road. They really bring things down. I always thought it would be pretty great. And my friends do bring their dogs sometimes. The only downside for us is that we're so loud.
Yeah.
It's loud.
Yeah.
And I think about that the dog shouldn't be too close.
Yeah, that's a common question of mine when I do see clues that, you know, a dog does go on tour with an artist or have been to a couple of gigs. They do say the same thing. It's so nice to hear it repeated. That's just like, it brings anxiety down. It's a welcome sight to them and the people around them and the crew.
Yeah.
But they do say, more times than not, the dog will stay on the bus, or they'll have, you know, a handler kind of just walk them and get them out of the scene.
Has to be the right kind of a dog, right? Kristen Hirsch used to tour with her little dog, and it came on stage when she performed, which was cute. You know who's a big dog guy? It's Jay Maskus.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he is, he used to have these big bulldogs. I don't know what he has now, but he was always crazy. They put it in some of the artwork, but Jay's always asking me about my dog. I think he's met him in Provincetown. We vacation in the summer and often see each other in Provincetown, Massachusetts, which is a big dog city, by the way. Super dog friendly. You can bring them almost anywhere and everywhere. And as is New York City, by the way, which is a big perk for my son. He brings them in restaurants and bookstores and ice cream. So Cambridge, by the way, no dog outside. Yeah. You can't bring them almost anywhere. I love in England that you could bring them in a pub.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I'm down south, and we've got a lot of open air breweries, and it's just like, bring your dog. And
yeah, it is funny though, but that I do find that Boston thing interesting, because that is a Boston type of thing where they are like, it's a city that is, can be pretty strict about drinking, about all. It's a very puritanical thing. It really, like, just like the old days, it's really like, there's this thing, you know, that there are still laws in place, and people kind of get terrified, like, you know, because somebody will make a scene. If you bring your dog in, even to get an ice cream or something, you know, that there's this rule. But I noticed New York City is just really the opposite, which I love.
It's funny, the few guests I've had from New York, and I lived in New York for 20 years. My first question is like, what do they get into when they're on a walk? You know, what do they put in their mouth? You know, it's innocent stuff like chicken bones and stuff, but there's a lot more lewd and crude.
Yeah, that's right. Reggie, my grand dog, just gets into everything. And that I warned my son about that. You know, I'm like, ooh, you got to watch it. There could be some tricky things, because he'll really go for the smell of any. He was like a real like street puppy. And that's what I'm saying to him. Like, ooh, it can go badly. And the signs to look for and then to get to a vet. Right. We don't see that out here as much. Like I was saying, my grand dog and my dog, like, so these seemingly arch enemies, but it's really just the older mom correcting the puppy. But when they get out together and there's the world that it's them, you know, versus the world, they're as a team. They're really moving together, looking out. You know, if one dog barks, the other one like stands right by him, makes himself big. I thought that was curious. Now, what's your whole dog thing? Why are you a dog guy?
It's funny. I haven't had a dog until I was an adult, till 6 years ago. I always consider myself a dog lover. And, you know, like I said, I lived in New York City for 20 years. And in that time, you know, I was in an office 40, 60 hours a week. I just never thought it was feasible.
Yeah.
But once I got the opportunity to do it, it was, you know, everything I imagined and wanted it to be. And, you know, all the cliches of unconditional love. And, you know, I think about it a lot all the time. And I think, you know, one of the things I was thinking about just the other day was, it's the consistency of the dog's affection and just wherewithal. If you're in a personal relationship, you've got peaks and valleys with that relationship.
Yeah,
you don't have that with dogs. I mean, you have a little bit of instability when they're a puppy, but once it's a couple years old and you find that groove, there's that consistency of companionship, love, etc., etc. So that's kind of what I've concluded.
I think it truly, the science of it, right, is amazing. It's in our DNA. There are particular, you know, genetic, you know, thing that was really bonded with us for a reason. Yeah. And I think, but not everybody has it. I mean, really, there are cat people. There are, which we, with my friends, I think it's really funny. The cat people, who I like cats actually too. I never really had them. But I will say, I determined that there is a personality difference between the dog and cat person, which is pretty funny, you know.
Now, is Bill a cat person?
Yeah, Bill has cats. So it's curious. Bill has a cat and has had cats. One, there's a song called Larry, which references his cat Larry, which is off our third album, Let Me Come Over. I remember in those days, I used to, like, so if he went somewhere with his wife, I had to go over and feed Larry. And Larry, yeah, was a cool cat. But the cats always like, I think, his wife, Laura, but the cats don't like, he's not a cat person. So he always has them. I don't think he would deny that he doesn't really bond. In fact, he said he's wanted a dog for a long time, but he's never got one.
Yeah. Well, I wind out every show with what I call the zoomies, and that's five quick frivolous questions. The first question is, do you kiss your dogs on the mouth?
Like a lot. I think all of my dogs were not good around the face. I'm sure I would. But so I would say no. And also curious, this dog is no touch the paws.
Huh.
You can touch her anywhere else. You go near the paw. No.
Yeah, my dog's like that way with the pads, because often I'll try to feel the pads to see if they're rough or not. And it's always kind of pulling away.
Yeah.
Question two is, does your dog have a theme song? You know, if it was walking the red carpet, or, you know, I know you're in a baseball town, you know, the walk up to the plate music, what would it be?
Cora, what would that be? She's sleeping solidly right now, as the 10-year-olds do. I'm going to go with Green Onions.
Okay. I think I might have had that before.
Booker T and the MGs, yeah. That's how I see Cora's thing. But I also give her a voice, by the way, which is Marge Simpson would be her voice.
Funny. Well, that was question number four. So we'll cover that. Question three was, if your dog toured, I know you haven't taken Cora on the road, but what would she want on the tour rider?
Oh, she does come to concerts, though. We saw John Doe recently at someone's backyard concert.
Oh, great.
I brought her to John Doe, acoustic concert. She was naughty. So she tried to steal all the finger food. I think she goes, she's now, as she's older, she goes right for the good stuff. So as a pup, she'd eat anything, you know, if anything fell on the ground. But Reggie, so we've only had Reggie like a year, but he's really naughty. We went out, left him alone. We came back and he had gotten into the giant bag of dog food, knocked it over and ate about 3/4 of it.
Oh my God.
This is a 30-pound dog. I'm going to say he ate 15 pounds of dog food. So I was like, oh no, like that's weird. And he was wobbling. He was looking like crazy. I'm like, well, we have to go to the vet. You got to go to the vet, you know, kind of thing. I start Googling, but it all resolved pretty quickly. I said, there's only a couple things that can happen here. We have a dog that's not breathing in a few minutes, or most likely, because I've had dogs, you know, my whole life. Whenever they get in overboard, it just comes, you know, they just get sick, which it did.
Yeah.
And then it was hungry, you know, half hour later. Insane.
I wish humans could be that way when they felt ill and then, you know, like.
But my dogs, this dog especially, is not food like that. She would eat a lot, but she wouldn't eat 15 pounds of food.
Yeah. God, that's crazy. Yeah. So the first part of question four was, do you use a dog voice? Do you speak to Cora in a, are you in a falsetto or?
That's a good question. I've thought about that a lot. I've been thinking about that lately because I have these funny discussions, and I gave my grand dog Reggie a voice too, which is kind of a Southern thing because I think he was from the South. And I do imagine them talking to each other, but I often imagine that for whatever reason, Marge Simpson voice for my dog, and that she's the practical one about Reggie and my kids. And yeah, I think I do change the pitch of my voice pretty high. People have commented on that because I think that's how they respond.
Yeah. And finally, question five, I always ask, is there a dog organization or a service that you'd like to give a shout out to?
Yeah, in fact, we do. So I'm a booking agent. That's what I do for a living. I'm a music agent. I represent artists for 40 years. And we have a company called Concerted Efforts. And it's people like Roseanne Cash and Rhiannon Giddens, you know, a lot of the rootsy kind of that kind of thing. So we have an office out in Western Mass. And one of our newest staff members, Isabel, works at a dog shelter, the Franklin County Regional Dog Shelter in Turner Falls, Massachusetts. And so we've been donating to them.
Awesome.
Yeah. For a while, it seemed like all my friends wanted a particular dog. But now everyone in my neighborhood has the mixes from the shelter.
Yeah.
That's a good movement, right? And they're the best dogs.
They are. They're very appreciative.
These pit bulls, which I'm always like worried about, they're actually, they seem like the most well-behaved.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's give a little love to Buffalo Tom. You guys have a new LP coming out called Jump Rope on May 31st. What's in store for you for the rest of 2024?
Generally, when we release these albums, we go on little tours. So we go up to the Midwest, to Chicago, Omaha, then the West Coast, go up the coast and play concerts. And then in Europe, we've always toured Europe, big place for us. So we go to Europe in September, October for like 2 weeks. You know, we all have kids, two kids who are in college or just out. So we're kind of more free now to tour a little bit. Right. We're not like tired, but we're almost there, which is a good feeling. And we played a lot of shows actually recently, which is insane when you think about it. It's the same guys since we were 18 years old. I mean,
yeah, that's great.
A long time. Yeah, our kids are older than we were when we started.
That's great to see and hear, because without naming names, you do see these acts out there with six or seven members, and there's really only one member from the original band.
Yeah, they're even in the indie rock kind of scene that we're from, that does exist. And it's pretty organic. I mean, it just happened to, you know, even after college, we all moved to Boston, lived together. Then we've lived in the Boston area for all this time. Oh, by the way, Tom's a cat person, I have to say too. More that I think about it, our drummer.
Yep. Well, best of luck with the new release. I'm always on the lookout for my guest on the road to come to my neck of the woods. So hopefully, you know, someday soon.
We have a minute. We usually play in Chapel Hill, but it's been a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck with your dog. What is your dog's name?
Charlie.
Charlie, nice one.
Well, Chris, thanks again. I appreciate your time. Okay. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Good questions. Right, okay, thanks. See you later.
Take care.